We're looking at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the seventh day of the creation week. I'm recording this at home as I forgot to turn the machine on in church this morning, so I'm just relating my sermon from the study at home. At Genesis 2, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Similarly to chapter 1 of verse 27, we have a little symmetrical triplet here. Chapter 1 of Genesis verse 27 reads, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. That little triplet. And here in Genesis 2 verses 2 and 3, and God finished on the seventh day his work which he had made. And God ceased on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he ceased from all his work which God created to make. You can see the triplet of parallel phrases and terms that are carried over. It's interestingly in chapter 1 of verse 27, that little triplet, each line consists of four words in Greek. Here in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, each line consists of seven words in Hebrew. Sorry, not in Hebrew. So it's interesting there. We have a repetition of the seventh day three times, and each sentence in which it occurs consists of seven words in the Hebrew language. So we have repetition, which is reinforcement, which is underlining the truth conveyed about the seventh day. So I want us to explore together as we conclude our studies in Genesis 1. And obviously chapter 2 verses 2 to 3 belong with Genesis 1. It's one of those unfortunate chapter divisions. Well, notice first of all then, we're told that God finished. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. It's the same word as completed in verse 1. So we could read, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had completed the work he had been doing. They were completed because God completed his work. And the reference to all their vast array is another way of saying the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, as that phrase occurs in Exodus 20, verse 11. So God completes what he begins. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1 of chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. God is a finisher. Me and my oldest brother and our wife have just begun clearing our mum's bungalow now that she's moved into a nursing home. And as we began doing it on Friday, you wonder, will we ever finish sorting out? There's so much to do, so many things to sort through. Will we ever finish? Well, God finishes. God is a finisher. God doesn't leave things half done. That was true of creation. It was completed. It's also true of salvation. Just as God completed the work of creation, he will also complete the work of salvation. So we read in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And in Hebrews 12, Jesus is the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 verse 2. And that great work was completed through the ministry of Christ on our behalf, through his death and resurrection. He cried from the cross, it is finished, as our sin, our guilt was borne by him in his body to the tree. He suffered in order that we could be pardoned and made new. And the Spirit came to complete and perfect that work. God is a finisher, and so he will complete the work he has begun, that saving work just as he completed the creating work that he did in Genesis 1. God is a finisher. God finished the work that he had been doing. God will finish the work of salvation that he has begun in our lives. God finished. And then secondly, God ceased. And here I'm following the NIV footnote that says that instead of rested on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. We can read ceased. God ceased from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he ceased from all the work of creating that he had done. That's the basic meaning of the word. It occurs again in Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's that word there. Again in Exodus chapter 5, when Moses goes to Pharaoh and asks for the people to be released. Chapter 5 of Exodus, verse 4, the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. The word stopping is the same word as we have in Genesis 2. God stopped, God ceased. Joshua 5, verse 12, the manna stopped the day after they ate food from the land. It stopped. So the word means to desist, to stop, to end. The Good News Bible helpfully says that God stopped working, which is the sense, I think, of the phrase. Of course, rest is a consequence of ceasing and of stopping. You rest as a result of that ceasing. God ceased from his work which he had made, or the work he had been doing. God did not become totally inactive on the seventh day. He only stopped his activity of creation. He didn't put his feet up and do nothing. And everything, God ceased because everything was just as God intended. The job was finished in accordance with his expectation and purpose. He therefore ceased and delighted in the completed work. He took pleasure in it. That's those phrases that God saw that it was good throughout the creation account. God delighted in the work he had done. And the end of chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And so the seventh day is a day when God delights in the work that he has completed, takes pleasure in the finished job. God finished, God ceased, and then God blessed and made it holy. We've already been introduced to blessing in Genesis 1, verse 22. After making the sea creatures and birds, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. Again, verse 28. After creating man, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God's blessing. Well, here God blesses the day. You could think of Genesis as a book of blessing. The verb to bless occurs 70 times in the book of Genesis, very much focused on who gets the blessing. So the verb is 70 times, and the resulting blessing, the blessing, occurs 16 times. It means to pronounce favor upon and secure benefits for. Certainly in Genesis, who is going to get the blessing, who is blessed, and what blessings they receive. The idea is to pronounce favor upon and secure benefit for. That's what God did for the seventh day. He blessed it and made it holy, or sanctified, consecrated it. This is only used here in Genesis. It doesn't appear again, the word to make holy. Something that's taken up, obviously, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The verb means to set apart, to set apart from common use, to set apart from common use for sacred use, in essence, to set apart to God. You might think of it as God saying, the earth is yours to fill, subdue, and exercise dominion over its creatures, but this day is mine. That's the idea, I think, behind it. So God has made man and given him dominion. The earth is yours, fill, subdue, exercise dominion, but this day is mine. Then we might think blessed and set apart with reference to whom? Does God bless it for himself and set it apart for himself? No, it's for man. It was man who inhabited time and was to live in a seven-day cycle. That's where our seven-day week comes from. And there was no such pattern in the ancient world. It's derived from God's pattern and God's procedure here. God blessed the day, he loaded it with benefits and set it apart for man's use. So just as made in God's image, man should imitate God by governing. That's part of what it means to be in God's image, is that man is to have dominion and subdue the earth, rule it. So too he should imitate God by ceasing and stopping his weekday work for one day in seven. He is to imitate God, both in his work and in his rest. Because there's actually no explicit command here that that should happen, but surely it's implied in verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. That's why is that recorded at this point? It's not something that God files away and brings out again when he comes to give the Ten Commandments. No, it's something for man, as man at this point, that Adam and his descendants are to take a day, put a day aside from their regular weekday activity, a day consecrated to God. Surely that's what Jesus means when he says in Mark 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man as man, not for man as the Jew coming out of Egypt, but for man as man. That was made explicit, of course, in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son or daughter, your manservant, maidservant, nor your animals, nor the foreigner within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, should we all become Seventh-day Adventists then? Why do we meet on the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week? Well, a couple of reasons. The Seventh-day Adventists, first of all, the writings of their prophetess, Ellen Maron, who became Ellen White. Her writings are given authoritative status alongside Scripture. So we're not going to take that route. The Bible alone is our authority. We're not going to follow the writings of a person. We're following God's word alone. But the New Testament clearly advocates the first day of the week for Christians. First, Christ's resurrection appearances were on the first day of the week. The the resurrection day was the first day of the week, and he appeared to his disciples. And then the week later, again on the first day of the week, he reappears when Thomas is present with them. Of the eight recorded appearances of Jesus after his resurrection in the Gospels, six of them are on the first day of the week. And then the outpouring of the Spirit today is the day of Pentecost. And we remember the Spirit poured out by the ascended Christ. That was on the first day of the week. Again, underlining the importance for new covenant believers. And then that was put into practice, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 20. Paul is on his journey with Luke, and Luke says, "But we sailed from Philippi." This is Acts 20, verse 6. "We sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days." So they're there for a week. "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." That was the day that they met. Paul and his colleagues were there for a week. but the public gathering of the church was on the first day of the week. Similarly, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul instructs them to put money aside the first day of every week. That was the same commands he'd given the Galatian churches. So here is the church in Galatia and the church in Greece, given the same commands regarding the first day of the week. Why? Well, that's the day that they met. It wasn't their payday. It was the day they met to worship. And so John writes in Revelation 1 verse 10, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. That was the day set apart for God, for John, the Lord's day. So just as we have the Lord's Supper, in which we remember the Lord's death, the Lord's day reminds us of the Lord's resurrection, that it is his day. So God blessed and made it holy. So the Lord's day is not to be boring or burdensome. It is blessed and beneficial for us. So what does that mean? Well, we'll see, to cease from regular weekday activities. That's what the pattern that God has set for us, to stop our regular weekday activities for one day each week, the first day of the week for New Covenant, New Testament believers. Put aside our regular weekday activities and to stop them. And perhaps as husbands, perhaps we can roll our sleeves up on that day to give our wives a break from their regular weekday activities. Perhaps we can contribute more in terms of what we do on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Again, remember, it's not to be a day of inactivity. It's a day when we stop our regular weekday activities. So we're to cease from those regular weekday activities. We're to enjoy the blessing and benefits of the day. It's a blessed day. And so we're to enjoy the blessings and benefits that God has secured for the day, for us. Again, that blessing wasn't for the day itself. It wasn't for God's benefit. It was for our benefit that the day was blessed. Well, we're to enjoy those blessings and those benefits. And we're to devote the day to God as much as we're able. We're to give God this day, a day set apart as holy, consecrated to the Lord. So we notice then that creation, this creation account, culminates not in the creation of man, but in the worship of God. Creation doesn't finish on the creation account doesn't finish on the sixth day, when man is created and everything is very good. No, the creation account finishes on the seventh day, a day that's blessed and set apart for God. So creation culminates not in the creation of man, but in the worship of God. A day when we can stop to worship the God who has finished his work. And we, as New Covenant believers, yes, we recognize and rejoice in God's finished work in creation, but even more so, we rejoice in God's finished work of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the giving of the Holy Spirit on this first day of the week. We rejoice in the salvation that's accomplished and completed in Christ Jesus.